All righty. Welcome to a quick live version of the Awful Announcing Podcast. I'm Brandon Contis, and we're joined by our own Jessica Kleinschmidt. And Jess, Carissa Thompson created a sort of firestorm today that I guess we kind of helped foster it a little bit by writing about it, because the tweet from the article has taken off a lot. But she essentially said that when she was a sideline reporter for Fox, which she no longer is, she made up some of those sideline reports. And just to offer everybody some quick background, like, this isn't a totally new revelation with Carissa. She spoke about it on her podcast with Erin Andrews a couple of years ago. At that time, she had said in 2008, she was attempting to ask Detroit Lions coach Rod Marinelli about the team at halftime. He responded by complimenting her perfume. She then went ahead and made up a sideline report from that that exchange. Fast forward now to this week on Barstool's Pardon My Take. Thompson, she kind of took that sentiment a step further, making it seem like it wasn't just a one-time thing. And I want to pull up the full quote here. She said, I would make up the report sometimes because A, the coach wouldn't come out at halftime, or it was too late and I didn't want to screw up the report. So I was like, I'm just going to make this up. Then she went on and said, no coach is going to get mad if I say, hey, we need to stop hurting ourselves. We need to be better on third down. We need to stop turning the ball over and do a better job of getting off the field. They're not going to correct me on that. So I'm like, it's fine. I'll just make up the report. Jess, I have never done a sideline report. I've never done an on-field report. You have. Is this something that you have done?
No. When I don't know something, I very much admit I didn't get that information. So if a case were to come up where I was asked about a certain aspect to what was going on, I couldn't get a hold of our manager, our coach, anybody, I would usually just go with an observation that I was making, whether it had to do with the actual game or not. There's always information that you could fill. I will say it is so hard to talk about something different each and every day. But I will say, when it comes to football, once a week compared to 162 games that I go over, I feel like that's apples to oranges. But when it comes to certain reports for baseball, sometimes I'll just repeat the same thing I did within the series, because you're definitely not going to be wrong in that aspect. So for that, I will never, ever say that a coach didn't give me information, so I'm going to make something up. I understand where she's coming from when she says you could say the stereotypical thing over and over again. However, if you make something up, we're talking about the livelihood of these guys, we're talking about injuries that you could mess with, I feel like that's really irresponsible reporting, in my opinion. But I also know that it's so easy to say, this is what I observed, this is what I'm going to be talking about. So for her to just say, oh, I made it up, didn't really leave a good taste in my mouth. And I can confidently say that I heard that from a lot of other people in the industry today. When you're a woman in sports, you have a lot of group chats that you talk to other women about these types of things. You saw what Molly McGrath said on social media. It's very irresponsible to go up and say, I just made it up. And there's always something you can fill in. And she said it so herself, when you're on the sidelines, you're prepping for so long, and you only have 20 seconds to fill in a week's worth of prep, then come up with something else, you know, and it's okay to admit that you don't have something there. And then I don't have that information. It's okay. We had Danny Wexelman on Short and to the Point. I asked her a question about the front office with the Mets, and she's like, you know what? That's not my beat. I'm not 100% sure. So she didn't make anything up in that regard. So it left a really bad taste in my mouth. And then you see a lot of the comments about people saying, well, this sucks because sideline reporters aren't needed. And it couldn't be further from the truth. We're always getting something that the play-by-play and the broadcasters sometimes don't see. So that kind of hurts my heart when people think that all sideline reporters are going to do this now. So to know that she was open and said that, oh, I didn't get fired for it, okay, that's fine. But then why do you continue to do that if it feels like you've talked about this on multiple occasions? Obviously, we don't know how many times she's done it, but right. Think about it now. When you are open about what happened here, what does that mean for the rest of everything that you've done on the sidelines?
Yeah, and I think if she was going to say something sort of generic like that about like if she can't get to the coach, and then she was just going to say something like, we need to stop hurting ourselves, we need to be better on third down. Why would she as a sideline reporter feel the need to still attribute it to somebody else as opposed to just saying like that's her analysis? I don't think the audience would care whether that information is coming from her as an analyst or coming from the coach through her as a sideline reporter. So is that a case where, like, if you're tasked with getting to a coach, getting to a manager, getting to a player for information, and you can't do it, do you now feel like you're going to almost get in trouble from your bosses? Because like I said, I don't think it's the audience that is going to mind if that information doesn't come from the coach or player.
No, we don't open the curtain, if you will. There was a situation that I went through with Lance Lynn. The audio was absolutely terrible. And this was heading into the trade deadline, so it was a good get. And the audio was atrocious. We couldn't get it. I'm not going to go on the radio and say, oh, we effed up. I couldn't get Lance Lynn. This is what happened. And this was 5 seconds before I was supposed to go live. And my broadcasting partner just looked at me and says, we just got to roll with it. So we had to, create a new narrative. And there's so much that you go over throughout the week where we shifted to it. So the next thing I'm going over the prospects, and that's just kind of what happens. We ultimately figured it out, but I couldn't air the interview for 3 or 4 more games. It's not my responsibility to say, this is what so-and-so would say. But I will say, for her to say, I don't think a coach would get mad. I think a coach would get more mad if you were making something up as opposed to saying nothing at all. And that's just a rule of thumb. If you're the best thing you can do is do nothing, right? And obviously you have to be proactive in these certain situations, but there are times where if I don't talk to somebody, and it happens all the time, Brandon, there's a joke that I've worked with Seth Brown for 5 years and I cannot get a one-on-one with him because I'm constantly missing him. And those things happen. I'll wait. I won't get him. Sometimes it's a scheduling thing. It's a batting practice thing. The matchup isn't right. And those things happen. So you have to call an audible. And that's what makes a good reporter separate from a great reporter. And she even said so herself, you have to get so much information in a short amount of time. And when you have to do it as quickly and as many times as you can with the reps, without the reps, you have to come up clean with information. Even if you're being repetitive, that's okay. Lean into that. The storylines for a football game are going to be for 7 days straight because you're playing and prepping for that team for 7 days straight. So why not lean back into it? I don't understand why that's difficult.
Have you ever came across a coach or a player that looks at their media responsibilities as like so much of a chore that they would almost be comfortable just saying, you know what, I don't want to say anything. You just, take care of this for me and pass it off to you.
Not necessarily, but I know you could easily, if there was a matchup going on and that guy's personality, you could say, he might be handling this well. Stephen Vogt just got hired as the Guardians manager, and I knew he was going to be emotional about it. So I said, he's probably super emotional about it. But then I also would say, I haven't spoken to him since his last game from the A's when he hit that walk-off or what have you. So you have to be like that as well because you spend so much time with these guys. So for sure. But I've never come across a guy to say, just say whatever you want. Like, F it. Like, that's just not, that doesn't really happen. Yeah.
Do you feel a sense of responsibility to accurately quote players and coaches? Like, do you feel that they trust you, that they're going to say something to you and you're going to accurately repeated on air or in written form, however it may be?
Absolutely. There's extra pressure because you're an extension of them. And I'm always doubling up too. If I don't understand a certain phrase that they use, there's a lot of, especially because I'm like getting a little bit more experienced in age and there's younger guys that use certain words. I'm like, I don't know what the hell that means. So you ask, and it's no different like pitching. There's certain terminology I have to double up. I'm like, hey, I have to go on the radio and talk about this. I don't want to F up. What do you mean by this? And that makes me a better person. I also don't want to look stupid going live, right? We don't want to do that. And sometimes I'll double up. And, when you are recording on your phone, sometimes I have to listen to 45 times in a row to get the quote 100% right, because I have a goldfish brain and those things happen. And I know that because I've effed up before in the past. And it's a lot of pressure. You want to get it right. You want to do right by them. You want to do right by your own self. because you're just as much of a public figure in certain aspects as they are.
Do you, would you be surprised? Would you be shocked if this is something that is a relatively common practice, that other reporters do the same thing that Carissa described?
You know, what's weird is, I don't know if I'm just separate, like surrounding myself with different people, but it kind of grossed me out because it's just something that I'm not used to. Because if I don't get information, I figure something else out. Like I said, we don't have, I could have an interview lined up and something last minute, it won't happen. So you have to figure something else out, but it's something that I've been doing my homework on. So there's been so many opportunities where I've been like, shit, I did not get this interview. What am I supposed to do? So I don't hear a lot about that. And I'm also surrounded by people who don't participate in that kind of behavior. But I also know her doing this, there's a positive to it, because a lot of people are going to cover their asses now to know like, okay, I didn't get this report. How do I call an audible? How do I figure it out? And it's just not how I approach things and not the people that I work with approach things. And if I have come across those people, I mean, it's different. I mean, we aggregate a lot for work, right? But I also know that we know, because of the aggregation, the right sources, the right people, the right individuals we're going through and aggregating off of, and how to cite them. So it's no different. When I have to do a report and I see like a cool report that I didn't do, I'll do it live and I'll say, oh, because I got this from MLB.com or Fox Sports, what have you. So it's definitely interesting how this was approached. I would hope that a lot of people kind of take a step back and say, I'm not handling this well. But there are so many different ways that you can come in last minute and do something that's more reputable.
Do these comments kind of, are they almost an insult to sideline reporters and to that profession, especially like you said, there's some of the responses to this, these comments have kind of been like, well, it almost shows that there's not necessarily a need for sideline reporters and things like that. So are these comments an insult to the fact where it's just kind of saying, hey, you know, you don't really need to do the job. You can just make it up and nobody's going to notice.
In the lamest way possible, it hurt my feels a little bit, Brandon, because it just, I don't know, like I don't have a college degree and I have to work extra hard. And as a woman in the industry, we are not on the panels with the same individuals and the same backgrounds. Doesn't matter what I'm doing, I'm not going to have the same background as the guy that I'm reporting or the guy that I'm interviewing. So I have to ask a billion questions. And that's what makes us reputable. That's what makes us show people that we're prepared, we put in the work. So it hurt my feelings a little bit to know that she was so casual about it. And yes, she definitely has way more experience than I do in a sport that's way more popular than the one that I cover. But I also know that I know there aren't a lot of eyes on every little thing that I do compared to her, but that doesn't mean I'm going to take a step back and just kind of have fun with it. So yeah, you know, it's when I first got in the industry, I didn't realize how much work sideline reporters did. I definitely thought it was way easier until I started doing my in-game hits, and you have to be fast and you have to be accurate. And that's sometimes more difficult than the long form interviews that I would have. So it's just stuff like that. But yeah, it kind of like hurt my little heart a little bit.
Just to kind of, I guess, wrap up, like the responses to the tweet of our article, I think some of them are mad at me, just kind of like this, assuming that we took stuff out of context. A lot of them are outraged at Carissa. As a journalist, is this something that, like, yeah, this is pretty bad, or it's not that big of a deal? Like, this is just somebody who said something on a podcast, thought it was a throwaway line that people weren't going to pick up on, or is all the outrage kind of justified?
I think I tend to be a very dramatic person, so I could understand. I definitely feel like it's a lot. I feel like it's pretty awful. But I think I'm definitely in a different mentality than a lot of people. And I understand where people are coming from, because if you're not in the industry, I could totally see it being a throwaway. But I also know that, like, just me personally, it's a lot. It sucks. And I will say I've gotten a lot of texts from people saying, like, they're surprised that she would still have a job after this.
Good stuff, Jess. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. See you later.